few weeks ago, one of our newer members says, Pastor, how does God tell you what to preach? How does he lead you to the messages that you preach? And I told him, I said, you know, it's not an audible voice. God has never spoken to me audibly and told me what to speak. But he uses different things to put an idea, an outline, a thought. Sometimes it's just one statement that somebody makes. Sometimes it's a song. Many times it's a Bible verse. Sometimes, like tonight, I heard a sermon, and I'm going to preach most of that sermon, probably about a third of it that I got to hear a couple, 3 weeks ago. But sometimes it's a little story that touches my heart and leads me in a certain direction, and that's the case this morning. I read a little story, and I'd like to read it to you as my introduction this morning. A father and his little daughter had just buried the mother of the home. They were brokenhearted when they returned from the funeral, for things at the old homestead seemed so different. The child was placed in her bed for the night. The father, too, retired but could not sleep. Presently, the little girl called to him, "Daddy, it's so dark." He reassured her in comforting, and assured her that there was nothing to fear. For a while, the child was quiet and then said trustingly, "Daddy, you love through the dark too, don't you? Daddy, you love through the dark too, don't you?" "Yes, dear," he said with a quivering voice. And with that, he looked up into the face of his Lord and prayed silently and said, "Thank you, Lord, for using my little one to remind me that thou dost love me, thy child, even though the way is dark." And this morning, I preach a sermon that I've entitled, "God Loves Through the Dark, Too." God loves through the dark, too. I have three simple points. Number one, God loves through the darkness of sin. God loves through the darkness of sin. The Bible teaches us that we're all sinners. It says in the book of Romans, "There is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And in that sin, we dwell in darkness. In John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, the Bible says, "Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." And so the Bible tells us that when we are in sin, we are in darkness. And I brought just a couple of props this morning, and I want to let this black cloth represent darkness. And again, in our sin, that's where we live. And if you go to the dictionary and you look up darkness, here's the definition you will find. Darkness is the absence of light. That's what it is. The absence of light. If you have any light at all, it's not dark. I mean, if there's only one star shining, it's still a dark night, because that one star provides light. If you at night, if you live out in the country and there's no street lights, and yet you have one little night light plugged in somewhere, it's not dark, because that little night light provides light. And so to get darkness, you got to take away all light. Every bit of it, every speck of it. There has to be no source of light for it to be dark. And that's in sin, we live in darkness. There is no light. And one of the things about being a sinner, one of the things about not knowing Jesus as your Savior, one of the terrible things of sin is living in that darkness. Not being able to see light, not having hope, not knowing which way to go, because in our sin we live in darkness. And we read that evil men that live in sin love the darkness, because the light reproves them. The light reproves them of their sin. And I know there's people that might be here today that don't know Jesus as their Savior that will say, well, I'm not a bad guy. I'm not a bad person. I admit that I'm not perfect, but I'm not that bad. I'll just remind you this. Well, let me ask you this morning. How many evil deeds, how much wickedness do you have to be involved in before you're really wicked? I mean, how many deeds make the difference between I'm not so bad and yeah, I am really bad? How many deeds are between those two positions? How many evil thoughts, how many evil deeds are between, yes, I'm really bad and I'm not such a bad guy? Let me tell you how God looks at it. Let me tell you how God considers these two positions. The Bible says that if we offend the law in one point, we're guilty of all. And even though we are sinners and we might say, I'm not a bad guy, God looks at everything that we do that we might say, hey, it's a good, even though I'm a sinner, I still do good deeds. God looks at all our good deeds and says, they are as filthy rags in my sight. And in sin, we live in darkness. But God loves through the darkness too. And in the darkness of that sin, he sends light. Let me read from John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light. John was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So in our sin, and we're all sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, we live in darkness. But while we were in that darkness, God sent light into the world. And he sent John the Baptist, not as a light, but to be a witness to that light. And when John stood and pointed to Jesus and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. When John the Baptist stood and said, this is the light that has come into the world to give light to sinners in darkness. What John the Baptist was saying was God loved through the darkness too. When we were in our sin, when there was nothing in us that was worthy of his love, when we dwelt in darkness because of our sin, God loved us. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us. He proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. And so he sends that light. I'm going to let this white cloth represent light this morning. And so when we were in our sin, in darkness, God sent light into the world. And that light was Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And so we have a choice to make. In John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, the Bible says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." So, as sinners, we dwell in darkness. God loved us through the darkness. He sent light into the world. And so we have a choice to make. It's an eternal choice. It's a choice that will determine where we spend eternity. Do we stay in the darkness of our sin? Or do we look to the light that came into the world to save us? And do we accept the light and accept the sacrifice that Jesus made on Calvary and ask him to save us? The choice is simple. Do I continue to live in darkness? Or do I live in light? Do I continue to live in the darkness of my sin? Or do I come to the light of Jesus Christ and get new life and eternal life that only he offers through his blood? We get to choose. It's a simple choice. Will we live in darkness? Or will we live in light? And by the way, it's an eternal choice. It's an eternal choice. In Revelation, let me stop for a second. If we choose to live in sin and never accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we will live in darkness for all eternity. For one of the things that the Bible says about hell is that there is no light. Hell is a dark place. There is absolutely no light in hell. No little night light. No shining star. No street light. It is completely dark in hell. And yet in heaven, the Bible says in the book of Revelation, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." There is no darkness in heaven. Heaven is a place of light, not because of the sun, not because of the moon, but because of the Father and the Son of God, who is the light of the world. And so as you make this choice, am I going to live in darkness or am I going to live in light? It is not only a choice that you make for this world. It is a choice that you will make for the world to come. It's a choice that you will make for all eternity. Do you live in darkness or do you live in light? I know you may be here this morning and say, "Preacher, I just don't quite understand it all. I don't understand why God would love through the darkness of my sin. You don't know what I've done. You don't know the kind of sinner that I am. I don't understand why God would love a sinner like me in my darkness." I'll be honest with you. I don't understand it either. I can't explain to you why an almighty God, the God that created heaven and earth, would love a sinner like me. I can't understand it, but I can proclaim it to you. I can tell you that based on this book, it is the truth. And even though I can't understand it, and even though I can't explain it, I will proclaim it, that God loves through the darkness of your sin. And God loves through the darkness of my sin. And he sent light into the world to give us life. And that light was the light of men. And we get to make the choice. We get to make the choice. You say, "Well, preacher, I just can't understand it. I can't understand it." Let me ask you. This is not a trick question. How much light does it take to dispel darkness? Just about that much. Just about that much. I can't understand why a holy God would love me. But I can look to the light, and maybe I can only see about that much. Maybe I can only understand that I'm a sinner and there's a penalty for that sin. And the light of the world died in my place on Calvary's cross. I can't explain it. I can't understand it. But I can believe it. And the Bible says God has dealt to every man a measure of faith, enough faith to believe that Jesus did die for us and that if we come to the light, He will save us. And if you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, don't live in darkness. It's a terrible place to live. It's a terrible place to live on this earth. It's a terrible place. It's a more terrible place to live there for all eternity. Just come to the light. He came for you. For you. If you were the only sinner, if you were the only one that fell short of the glory of God, God would have sent His Son to come for you. Come to the light this morning. Come to the light. God loves through the darkness of sin. Number two, God loves through the darkness of backsliding. I appreciate Brother Clyde telling that story about the man in the car wash that came back to God. You see, if we ask Jesus to save us and we turn from the darkness of our sin and head toward the light, it's a journey. It's a journey. The end of that journey is when God will make us exactly like Jesus, His Son. But while we walk on this earth, as our faith grows, as our Christian life matures, we get closer and closer to that light. Sometimes, though, because of our disobedience, we turn from the light. And we say, well, I want to run my own life. I want to make my own decisions. I want to do what I want to do. And we turn from the light and we head back toward darkness. Now, I don't believe we'll ever get back in complete darkness. I don't believe once you're saved you ever lose your salvation. But I believe that we can rebel and I believe that we can turn our back on God. I believe we can be disobedient and we can walk back toward darkness. And I want to tell you this morning that our God loves through the darkness of backsliding. There's a wonderful story in Luke 15 about a father and two boys, and the younger came to him and said, Dad, I know you're not dead yet, but I'd like my part of the inheritance. You know the story. It's the story of the prodigal son. And the father gives that younger son his part of the inheritance. He goes to a far country and wastes it in riotous living. He spends all his money and all his friends leave, and he's in that faraway land, and he's so hungry that he begins to feed pigs. And for a Jewish boy, it's a terrible thing to do. He's so hungry, he says, I'm so hungry, I could eat the stuff that I'm feeding the pigs. And the Bible says he comes to himself, and he says, you know, back at my father's house, even the servants have plenty to eat. I'll rise and I'll go back to my father and I'll tell him I'm no longer worthy to be a son. I just want to be a servant. I just want to be a servant. And so that younger son turns away from the darkness of wanting to run his own life, of wanting to make his own decisions, of wanting not to be with his dad anymore, and he heads toward home. And the Bible says when he was a great way off, a great way off, his father saw him, went running to him before he could get his little spiel out and said, Dad, I'm no longer worthy to be a servant. The story goes that his father put his arms around him, hugged him, kissed him, told the servant, said, bring a robe for his back and sandals for his feet, put a ring on his finger. This my son that was dead is alive. This my son that I love so much is back home. That's a picture of a loving God and a backslidden Christian. You see, in that story, the daddy couldn't see that son far off if he wasn't looking for him. And every day that we rebel against God, every day that we turn our back on God and say, I want to run my own life, I want to make my own decisions, I want to do what I want to do, there's a Father up above that's looking down in love. And He says, come on home. Come home. Don't go back toward darkness. That's no place to live. Come home. And when we, as we're headed toward that darkness, in the darkness of backsliding, when we turn, there's a Father who puts His arms around us and loves us, puts that robe back on our back and sandals on our feet and a ring on our finger, and said, "This my child that was wandering away from me has come back, has come back." God loves through the darkness of backsliding. And then number three, God loves through the darkness of trials and testings. Again, we're on this journey. When we get saved, we leave darkness and we walk toward light. And God's desire is that we get closer and closer to Jesus. God's desire is we become more and more like Jesus. God's desire is that we mature in our Christian life and get more and more like Him. But God knows that as we make that journey, sometimes He's got to help us. Sometimes He has to bring things into our life that shows us that He could be trusted, that shows us that He can be depended on, that shows us that He is the rock of our salvation. And just like we were talking in Sunday school this morning, when Abraham was told by God to take his only son Isaac up on top of a mountain and offer him as a sacrifice, God was doing that so Abraham could grow in his faith. Now just think about it. A man of faith, a man that left home, moved to a place that God told him and said, "I'm not going to tell you till you get there." A man that exhibited faith in God over and over and over again, the father of the faithful, the Bible calls Abraham. And yet God had to send a test into his life, a trial into his life, to help Abraham to grow. And I was thinking about it. Don't you think if Abraham needed something like that, that we, who for the most part are of weaker faith than Abraham is, don't you think that He'll do the same thing for us? I do. He doesn't do it because He's mad at us. He wasn't mad at Abraham. He loved Abraham. Abraham is called the friend of God. And yet God sent this test, this trial into his life because He loved him. And so that's what God does to us. He sends time of trial and testing into our life. And during that time of trial and testing, there seems to be some darkness that we enter into. Not the darkness of sin. I mean, we're still headed toward the light. God doesn't test backslidden Christians. He waits for them to turn around and head in the right direction. He knows they can't take it. He tests Christians that are walking toward the light. And sometimes He sends a time of trial, a time of testing. And it seems when we go into that time of trial and testing, it's dark. It's dark because there seems to be something between us and the light. And in the darkness, whatever it is, it might be a relationship problem. It might be a health problem. It might be a problem with your children. I could go up and down the aisles, and because I know most of you very well, I could say, yeah, that's your testing. That's your trial. That's the test that God is giving you. So not because He's mad at you, not because He's upset. He loves you, and He wants your faith to grow, and He knows it can't unless He gets something into your life where you can trust Him more. And then when we walk into that period of darkness, when it seems that God has turned His back on us and we can't see, we're like the little girl that cries out to her daddy, "Daddy, You love through the darkness too, don't you? Don't you, Daddy? You love through the darkness too." And Daddy answers back, "Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I know exactly what's going on. I have a purpose for it. And even though you can't understand the purpose now, you can't see the purpose now, I have a reason for it. Just trust me. Just trust me. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. Just trust me. And I want to remind you this morning, those of you that are going through trials and tests, God loves through the darkness of trials and testing too. So, I don't know what kind of darkness you're in this morning. Maybe you're still in the darkness of sin. You need to come and meet the light of the world, Jesus Christ. He came into the world for you. Maybe you're in the darkness of backsliding and you've turned your back on God and you said, hey, I want to run my own life. There's a Father that's got His eye on you. All He's waiting for you to do is turn around and He'll throw His arms around you, put the ring back on your finger, the robe back on your back, sandals on your feet, welcome you home. And maybe you're in the darkness of trials and testing this morning. Again, I just want to tell you, He loves through the darkness. He loves through the darkness, and He knows what He's doing. Just trust Him. Just trust Him. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the hope that it gives us. The hope that we can be saved and have our sins forgiven and have a home in heaven. The hope that if we turn from our rebellion, You'll welcome us back home. The hope that even though we don't understand why You've allowed things to come into our life, You're doing it for our good, for a purpose, for a reason. Thank You for being the light. And thank You for loving us in the darkness. And I pray, Father, I pray for those that are here that don't know Jesus. Help them to come in just a minute. Let us take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Father, if there's a backslider here this morning, help them to come to this altar and fall on their knees and say, Daddy, Daddy, I want to come home. I want to come home. And then, Father, for those that are in the midst of a trial, help them, give them the reassurance that You love through the darkness, that You've got Your eye on them. You know what You're doing. For us to just trust You. Bless this time of invitation. Again, Father, use it as only You can. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.